the big one.
Okay.
Okay, I declare this meeting open at 1:05. I'd just like to begin today by acknowledging the Gurung people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today. The Shire of Jeremungrup would like to pay their respects to their elders, both past and present. Attendance is all taken care of. There is no apologies for today's meeting. Anyone have there's no approved leave and there's no absences. Any disclosure of interests for today's meeting?
No, I haven't received any.
Public question time. We don't have anyone at the moment, so no. And petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. Today we are lucky enough to have a presentation from Shelley Shepherd, who is online now. So I'll hand over to you for your presentation, please, Shelley.
Oh, you're on the mute.
Such a rookie mistake, sorry. That's amazing. Thank you so much, everybody, for having me. Is it alright if I share a presentation with you all?
Yes.
Fantastic, okay. I'm hopeful that you can now see a screen that says Water for Future Strategies.
Yes, that's working.
Yes. Brilliant. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. So today I'm here to talk to you about the Water for Future strategies that I'm working for the Great Southern Development Commission to develop a series of plans for the 8 local governments in the Inland Great Southern Region. So I'm developing this plan for the Shire of Jeremungrup, but of course we're developing it for others as well. So just fantastic. Oh, now that didn't move. Let's try that screen over there. There we go. I'm on Wajuk Noongarrbuja. And so country, acknowledgement of country is actually really important to me, and particularly for water resources, because we found that when we're looking at landscapes and looking at water, there are so often such strong Aboriginal culture associated with water resources. So it does come into quite a significant part of what we do. So this plan aims to build the drought resilience for the Shire, but also for the other inland Great Southern Shires as well. So we're focusing very much, actually only on non-potable water, because this is drought resilience for firefighting, for public open spaces, for emergency water, and for stock water, road maintenance, construction. So it's really about the non-potable water needs of the local government, but for the activities that you have control over and have responsibility for. So we are looking at all water sources. We're looking at rainwater, we're looking at groundwater, if it's available, actually it is in Bremer, surface water, dams, stormwater, wastewater, and looking at how all of that water cycle is used for these non-potable needs and for those things of the Shire. So while we are recognising that the agricultural industry and the farmers need to have access for water, that's not a key part of this strategy. This strategy is very much about focusing on the Shire's responsibilities, primarily for irrigation of public open space and recreation, as I said, for emergency water supplies with the Department of Water and Environment Regulation, but also trying to think of how the water in the landscape supports environmental and cultural values as well, if they come into consideration. And the strategy is focusing very much on town sites, because that's where local government has most of control and where you're delivering most of these outcomes, particularly for public open space. So it came out of the Inland Great Southern Drought Resilience Plan, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, which has those five themes. And when I looked at this plan, I thought, oh, it's definitely going to be under resilient water. But it's not. The majority of drivers for this plan come from the resilient communities and the resilient landscapes, because it's very much about water for recreation, water for those non-potable values, which is associated with amenity. So while we recognise water is critical, particularly potable water, that's outside this strategy. That's the Water Corporation is managing that. And water for agriculture is also pretty much outside this. So is everybody comfortable where the strategy sort of sits and what it's looking at? Mm-hmm. Awesome. If you're all quiet, then I just believe that you agree with me. Okay, cool. So I had to learn a lot about the Shire. Beautiful place, it was fantastic to drive around, big. So key towns that where we're focusing, Jerramunga, Bremer Bay and Boxwood Hill. There are some population projections that are favouring this growth in Bremer Bay, which is actually quite a significant context because more communities require more public open space, and if you're developing additional public open space, then we need to think about that moving forwards into the future. So the other population growth is not considered significant enough that you'll have or have to generate more public open space to meet that demand. So, of course, the critical thing is climate. What does the climate look like in Jerramunga? And it's very different from the top of your shire to the bottom of your shire. So we look at the rainfall and how that might have changed over the past and then how might that change in the future. So when we look at the climate, and I'm sure you guys know it way better than I do, the rainfall time, well, it's reducing a little bit, but the period at which it rains is the thing that's changing. So when you look at that graph there, the darker bar is the total average. The lighter bar is the change since 2000. So although that's still quite a long time ago, 25 years, but you can see the shift in when the rain is falling towards the latter part of the year. So the season is sort of moving. But what you do see, which is really critical, is the loss of that water in early winter. The loss of the water in May and June and July. And that has quite significant impact, obviously, on agriculture, but also on the environment, because it's not generating that additional water storage in the environment because it's raining later when it's actually being used by the environment and evaporation, all those sorts of things. So that change in the water cycle is actually quite important to know. It's the weird thing since 2010. It looks like your average is increasing. It was declining up to 2000. But we want to have a better look at that. And then we will forecast with the climate models what's likely to happen into the future. So, of course, Bremer Bay, more rainfall than what there is in Jerramunga by, you know, about a third. So that has quite an impact on the availability of water. Plus, you have groundwater down there. So when we're looking at a little bit broader, so the program of strategic community water supplies run by DWER has been really effective over the last couple of years, and they have expanded their network of these strategic water sources throughout the local government area, which is fantastic. And I think one of the critical benefits that's been noted is the access to groundwater now. So there's a couple of bores that are producing pretty well, which then mean that it's much more reliable source of water. You also don't need to store it in big dams where we just see massive evaporation. So we have seen an example, we've seen the expansion. But also what that means is there are some water sources within each of the town sites which also need to be available for firefighting purposes as well. And also in time of drought. Sorry, I'll just go back to that one. There we go. So the key issues that we're focusing on, I've sort of mentioned them already, but I had a workshop with some of the gentlemen in the room, which was fantastic, to really tease out what it was that was really important to your local context. So in some of the other local governments, we have seen not necessarily an importance of their ovals. They don't have as much sport, whereas in Jerramunga and Boxwood Hill, it's like, wow, okay, our ovals are the most important thing for recreation of the community. They're really important. So we're also looking at roadworks and how you get water for roadworks, which is a critical part of the infrastructure that you guys maintain, but also emergency water, so firefighting, livestock. We've had a couple of conversations with a couple of local governments about spray water because we've seen that transition away from livestock towards crops, but we have a preference that any of this emergency water is not used for spray water because livestock is, you know, the death of livestock is, I guess, seen as more critical than the use of spray water in times of drought. So that is also a conversation that we had. So then when we had spoke about what's going on, the key water issues that you're facing are the water security for recreation, primarily Jerramunga and Boxwood Hill, Where it is a definite water quality issue in Boxwood Hill, the dam has gone salty, but also water quality in Bremer Bay. So while there is access to groundwater and you've been told by the Water Corporation that it should be a sustainable supply, although when I mentioned it to her, they weren't so sure, the water quality is having issues. So the calcification, the high mineral content could be something that could be worked on. And the other thing is you've got all these dams and these catchments and they require maintenance to make sure that they're operating at full capacity, because we've got to get the water to run off, and if these catchments aren't maintained, then it doesn't do that. And so then if we're considering across the spectrum of values, we are looking at environmental, cultural, recreation and economic, but primarily your focus seems to be mostly on the recreation side of things for non-potable water resources. Do you support that as the key emphasis of this plan moving forwards?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool. And if you don't, we can sort of modify it a bit, but that's sort of the premise to which I have been working. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so moving forwards, just trying to understand. So what came out of the workshop was the development of strategies which will go in this plan. So we have high-level strategies, and then we'll have some actions that fall out under each one of these strategies. So these strategies are designed to recognise the local characteristics and the outcomes that we want to see. So the first strategy was supporting community health and wellbeing, because that's definitely the critical factor. Through access to sustainable non-potable water resources to maintain recreational facilities and streetscape amenity into the future. The beautiful thing I found about Jerramunga was your streetscape was magic because it's natural, and so there isn't necessarily a need to irrigate because it's the system that's been there, but the streetscape amenity in Bremer Bay was noted as something that was also important to maintain with irrigation. So the second strategy was recognise cultural and environmental values of local landscapes and support regeneration and enhanced resilience. So there was a really strong recognition that these areas of local wetlands, of local waterways, are places that the people in your communities really care for. And so there is an objective to understand whether or not they're under threat from climate change, and to potentially think about how those values could be maintained and whether or not there's changes to the way management occurs or strategies are delivered that will make sure that those things are resilient into the future. The third strategy was working with agencies, industry and the community to ensure water is available for stock watering, as we spoke about that, during drought conditions and for firefighting. So there wasn't that recognition that we needed to include spray water here across your shire. The fourth one was continue to work with the community to facilitate optimal access to water for roadworks. And you have generated a fantastic relationship with your community, which is well planned in advance, so everybody knows where these works are going to continue and that there is access to water from private property in the main to be able to deliver this. And it's a great and well-coordinated program that's supported. So there wasn't a need to find an additional source of water to manage that because you were already managing it really well. The fifth one was exploring opportunities for organisational and industry partnerships together with trials of new approaches and technologies. And a lot of that was recognising that mostly in other local governments, where a big mine or a resource was being developed, what were the synergies that could be created? And in other areas, if CBH was going to do some work within their town sites, what would that then generate for the local government in terms of water capture, stormwater management, and potentially other things? But the trials of new approaches and technologies was very much about dam covers and plastic catchments, all those sorts of things, and just seeing what was out there and whether or not there were additional trials that might be appropriate. So for the plan itself, those are the strategies that we're proposing to put actions underneath. How do you feel about those five strategies? Okay.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track, yeah.
Right, roughly good. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So, of course, we had to do a quite intense assessment of what you've got and where it all is and how it all links together. So we're still generating some of that information so that we can complete the water balance. But basically, this is what your area looks like. So Gerramungup has retic water from the dams, and Water Corporation supplies that. You also, so that your oval is irrigated from the oval dam. It's a lot of water that's being used there, but it's a big space. Like, out of all the ovals across the 8 local government, yours, this one's the biggest, at 3.5 hectares. So there's a lot of irrigation going on there. It's being managed by a contractor who is working with you to make sure that it fulfills the needs, and it's trying to minimise water use as well. We did recognise that the catchment there that you can see next to the oval dam is silting up, but there was recognition that you're working with Dwera already on how to achieve better maintenance of that and potentially fund some of that. So the school has their own dam and tank system, which is great. And you have a hybrid sewer system, which is actually really quite exciting, because there is an opportunity there to use that water. Sorry?
Millions of dollars to replace exciting.
Well, no, that's right. So, and it doesn't generate the amount of water that you actually really need. But it shouldn't be that expensive. The technology out there now Anyway, we did have a look at it, so we've actually developed some calculations on what it could cost, and we've seen some quotes from other people. It shouldn't be too bad, but the other source that you've got there is Water Corp Dam number 3. So Water Corp aren't using that because there's some potential concerns for them only, given that they do potable water on some contamination, but the water is probably quite okay for non-potable use. There was a draft agreement in 2022 which wasn't completed that suggested they could supply you 10 megalitres per year. But you do need 19 for Gerramungup. And that's actually quite a low cost, but there might be a different way to facilitate the handover of that dam. That means that you get to manage and maintain it rather than paying them for the water. So that's just an opportunity that we're going to explore. So for Gerramungup, those are the key strategies that have come out. So potentially look at the cost and benefit of the wastewater. Oh, there's a dam in the middle that I haven't found out who owns that, but it just says, whose dam is this? So I have to, I'll talk to you guys a bit later about that, whether or not that's an opportunity. So those are the key strategies for Gerramungup. Do they seem about right? Is there anything else that we've missed potentially that you'd like us to look into? Wastewater dam, isn't it? Nobody has any. If you have any ideas, that's fine. We can talk about them later. So Bremer got access to groundwater. So that makes a significant difference in the access to non-potable water. Groundwater is not a never-ending supply, and the Department of Water does try to manage and maintain it so that it is sustainable. So it's looking at the impact of climate change, looking at reduced rainfall and whether or not that significantly impacts the recharge of that water source. So you do get mixed messages that, oh no, we've got heaps and heaps of water, but then Dwem might come in and say, well, actually no, we're going to cut off that allocation now. So looking at the Water Corp's allocation, they've got 90 megs, the Sports Club's got 30, you guys have got 1, but we do need to have a conversation with Dwer about their management of the groundwater in this area. Of course, Water Corporation gets precedence because their water is for public drinking water supply. And so you can see those red and orange areas on the map. They refer to the public drinking water source areas where the bore field is located. But if we were looking just at the non-potable use, it's primarily for the oval, for the sports club, for the golf course, and the caravan park. I was surprised at how much the caravan park spends on scheme water, given that they should really have enough within their allocation to be able to, well, it's not their allocation, it's given to them by the sports club, but to have access to that. So I think that's worth a further conversation to see if that cost can be reduced. The other part to this is the expansion of the town site, and with that expansion there'll be additional public open space, And so ensuring that there is water that can be allocated from the ground to irrigate that area, that's also part of it. You're developing a new scheme, which is really exciting, and you've already got a really good planning policy that looks at rainwater tanks and wastewater management, but ensuring stormwater management is consistent with state planning policy 2.9, and potentially some other provisions could go into the scheme, which is another exciting opportunity. So those were the key things that we're going to explore as part of this strategy for Bremer Bay. Is there anything else that you can think of that we've missed?
Just one thing I was going to mention on that one. You talked about the caravan park. I had a conversation with them just a couple of weeks ago. They're going through the motions at the moment for installing a second bore water. So that was... Oh, whenever that week I was away off. So, only in the last couple of weeks, they were having a meeting in with DWER and stuff on that, about the licence and everything else. So I think that's progressing. That's about all I know of it, but I just know that they are dropping a second bore in there.
Yeah, because there is allocation available at the moment, so they should be able to do that. Okay, fantastic. And then finally, Boxwood Hill. So no scheme water, no sewer. The dam is turning salty due to a stream that's popped up, spring that's popped up. I have been told that you use a private dam when levels are low, but I wasn't too sure exactly which dam that was. So what you are doing, irrigating the oval and hockey field. So we're looking at 13.5 megs per year, 2.5 hectare space. And so to be able to have a sustainable source of water to do that, pretty much the only there's no groundwater available unless we can find some. I'm not aware of too many bores that have been drilled, so it could be something that we ask DPIRT about, or any of the neighbouring farmers, whether or not they have actually access to non-salty groundwater. However, the likelihood of that does seem quite low, given that the spring that popped up near the dam is salty. So it is highly likely that we've got salt groundwater everywhere around. To increase the catchment size is probably the biggest, the only opportunity that you've got to generate more water. That, of course, will require a clearing permit. And what the analysis suggests that without dam covers, it won't generate enough for you. So it would require a package of clearing approvals, and then you would have to install some dam covers as well to actually get that 7 to 8 megalitres per year, which could be enough. It's not the full amount that you need, but it could actually just be managed to provide the amenity that you need in Boxwood Hill. So because the reserve on which the catchment is located is a DPLH reserve, it's already reserved for water supply purposes, which is great, you still need the formal consent from DPLH for that proposal. Did anybody have any other ideas about how to address non-potable water in Boxwood Hill?
I've just put in an application to the community water, what's it called? CWSP.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to put to raise the spillway of that dam by a metre or so. And also the rear wall of that dam, just to give us, I've roughly worked out, it's going to be about 9,000 kilolitres, maybe, in that extra capacity. So we'll see how it goes with that. So that'll give us at least a bit of a stopgap for the time being.
Yeah, okay. And that goes to the strategic community water supply grants. And how are you dealing with the water quality?
So I think I'm not a full bottle on it, but I think it's not too bad because the dam itself is sort of like, it doesn't get fed by the stream behind it. It's got a wall across the back and across the front, so it's not, that stream isn't running into it. So that salty water gets caught behind the upstream wall of the dam.
Yeah, okay.
So the dam itself relies mostly on catchment.
Yeah.
So it does get salty, but it's not desperately bad at the moment, I think.
Too bad.
I mean, the oval looks great, so it must be
doing okay. Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic. So you don't think that you need, you want to increase the size of the catchment?
not at the stage, that gravel pit that on the left of that pink area there basically all flows into that dam now as it is.
Yeah,
I think.
And so you're losing water from the dam, it's going down, overflowing at the moment.
Well, not right now, but it would when it rains enough, yeah. So
when it rains, yeah.
So we, by raising the spillway, we're going to hopefully, just have more storage in that dam.
Fantastic.
Plenty of freeboard in the main wall, and the back wall needs to be raised a little bit, probably, just to make sure there's enough freeboard in that other wall. But it's a fairly simple job to get a little bit more water.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, that's awesome. Fantastic. I wonder if that's already in train. We can put that in anyway, and then that just gives support for to grant the application.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic. And I can't see the person that's speaking.
Oh, so that's me, Pat, over here on the...
Oh, hey, Pat. Okay, how are you? Sorry, I could just see. I can see an arm. fantastic. Thanks, Pat. That's great. Okay. So I guess the other part to it is, so those were the specific opportunities for each location. So then there are other things that we'll put into the strategy, such as improving efficiency of irrigation systems, and we know that there are plans to upgrade Bremer Bay, additional maintenance of the dams and the catchments, potentially additional partnerships with CBH, the scheme provisions, which you're already doing, additional monitoring and metering of water and energy use. So that's not necessarily being done at the moment, but it does then provide you better data that can be used as the basis for grant applications, because you can justify volumes used, volumes needed, all of that sort of stuff. I think there's an opportunity to trial plastic catchment or dam, definitely dam covers, because the gains that you get from that technology is quite significant. Recognition of Aboriginal cultural heritage values associated with water. Looking at possibly more in the Bremer Town site, the passive watering of streetscape with stormwater. And then thinking about, okay, if we do hit a crisis or a drought, what's going to be the framework for making decisions on where the water is used. So those are the other sorts of strategies or actions that we're going to put into the plan. Can you think of anything else that you would like included? Are there any gaps in anything? Any other ideas that anybody would like? But just to provide a strategic context, and then really just a bit of a springboard for some of the individual projects and get assistance with grant funding. Well, if you do think of anything, please let me know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to check these assumptions and get the final information, so I'll catch up with Pat soon, and then draft the strategy. We can also provide a simple summary rather than a big strategy document and any spreadsheets or data. I'll give you the spatial data that we've generated so that then you can have it in your own systems. I would also like the opportunity to share the draft report with obviously the client, but DPIRR, DWIRR and Water Corp, because if all of those water agencies have a similar understanding of where you're at, where you'd like to go, then hopefully everybody can work together to achieve similar outcomes. So it can be a bit of a collaborative platform for partnerships and for opportunities. And then finalise the document. How does that sound?
Pretty good.
Thank you, Joe. All right, well, thank you all for your time, for your participation. But if you do have any thoughts or ideas in the next couple of weeks, please feel free to send them through by yourself or through anybody else. And, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shelley. Really look forward to seeing the final draft.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Shelley, for that. Okay, moving on with the meeting. Response to any previous question time, there's none. We have no one wishing to attend via telephone today. Do we have any applications for a leave of absence? No. Announcements by presiding member without discussion. I do have a little one, and that is I'd just like to congratulate Councillor Hislop and Councillor McCoy on their election, and it is a pleasure to see you in the chamber today. So thank you. So, confirmation of previous minutes. 10.1, ordinary council meeting held on the 25th of March 2026. Can I have someone move these? Councillor Barrett, seconded Councillor Foreman. All in favour? Yep. The 10.2, local emergency management committee meeting held on 16th of March 2026. Can I have someone move and accept these? Councillor Hall, seconded. Councillor Foreman, all in favour? Yep. Moving on to recommendations, reports. Reports, technical services we've received in the briefing. Corporate services 12.2.21, accounts of payments. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation for this, please? Awesome. Councillor Barrett, seconded Councillor Hislop. All in favour? Thank you, moved. 12.2.2, the monthly financial report, as presented as read. Can I please have someone move the officer recommendation here? Councillor Foreman, seconder please. Councillor McCoy, all in favour? Thank you. Development services, we've heard in the briefing session. 12.4, executive services information bulletin. Can I have someone please move the officer recommendation for this, please? Councillor Barrett, second up. Councillor Hislop, all in favour? Yes, and moved. Thank you. So, 12.4.2, proposed public places and local government property local law recommitment. Has been presented as read. Can I have someone please move the officer recommendation? Councillor Foreman.
I'll second it, Nathan.
Second it, Councillor Barrett. Councillor Foreman, would you like to speak for?
No, all good.
Anyone wish to speak against? No. All those in favour? Through. So, presentations on committees and working groups, 12.4.3. I'll move this in two parts. Can I please have someone move the officer recommendation for sections 1 through to 4, which I'll read out as elected members, council appoints all elected members to the CEO Performance Review Committee, the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee. Council adopts all elected members to the Audit Risk and Improvements Committee, the Bremer Bay Community Development Committee. That council approves the Shire President, Deputy Shire President, and one proxy, which is any councillor, to the Bremer Bay Community Development Committee, and that council appoints the following elected members to the Bremer Bay Community: Councillor Brown, Councillor Barrett, and Councillor Zacker, or any other councillor. So if I can have someone move those ones now, please. Councillor Hall, seconded Councillor Hislop. All in favour? And the external representation committees and organisations. So, move that. Nominate the following elected members to the external committees, organisations as detailed below. The Regional Roads Group is Delegate Councillor Barrett, Councillor Brown, Proxy Councillor Hall. Great Southern Zone Walga, Councillor Brown, Councillor Barrett, and any other councillor. The Bushfires Advisory Committee, Councillor Foreman, Councillor Hislop, and any other councillor. Fitzgerald Biosphere Group, Councillor Hall, Councillor Hislop, and any other councillor. Great Southern Sports and Recreational Group, Councillor Foreman, Councillor Hall, and any other councillor. Jerramungrup VES Unit Management Committee, Councillor Barrett, Councillor Foreman, and or any other councillor. Bremer Bay VES Unit Management Committee, Councillor Hall, Councillor McCoy, any other councillor. Development Assessment Panel, Councillor Hall, Councillor Zacher, Councillor Brown and Councillor Hislop. The Fitzgerald River National Park Advisory Group, Councillor McCoy, Chief Executive Officer and any other staff member. Fitzgerald Biosphere Community Collective, Councillor McCoy, Chief Executive Officer and any other staff member. Local Emergency Management Committee, Councillor Brown, Councillor Barrett and any other councillor. And the South Coast Alliance, Councillor Brown, Councillor Barrett, Councillor Foreman. So if someone can move that they will become our representative members on all those meetings. Councillor Foreman, seconded Councillor Barrett. All those in favour? Thank you. 12.4.4 Shire rebrand. Adoption of a new Shire logo. Can I have someone move all the Office of Recommendations? Councillor Barrett. Seconder for Councillor Barrett, Councillor Hall. Would you like to speak for Councillor Barrett?
No, thank you.
Councillor Hall, would you like to speak for?
Thanks.
Anyone wish to speak against? No. All those in favour? And done. So, there are no matters which the meeting may be closed, so moving straight along. The next meeting will be held on Wednesday the 27th of May, commencing at 1 p.m. in Yarramunga. And I will call this meeting closed at 1:41. Thank you all.